Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Because she was even talking about Joe and Lenny. And, have a look at these boys.
She's a cougar.
She's a cougar. Is cougar the right term? What's the one for the older one?
Yeah, cougar. Or gilf. But she's more of a cougar, I guess. What? I like Ric Flair.
There's a rat called Rattus. He's the leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough. Darren, he's a dopey dog. Mix, he's a mother that mixed up bunny.
Hello and welcome to this rocktacular episode of the Ferals Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by...
Swinny!
And Mike Oxlong.
please rate and review us on iTunes. Check us out on feralspodcast.com. Tweet to us at feralspodcast. Facebook.com/feralspodcast. And, I don't know, have you guys set up Pinterest and, Snapchat and all that kind of stuff?
We have lots of selfies, lots of nudies. People are going to love it.
A lot of Rattus selfies. So we have episode 9, Rock Horror. I don't know what you guys thought before the episode. I'm interested to hear what you thought. Like, you knew the title was Rock Horror. Did you have any thoughts about what it was going to be about?
The first thing I thought was this episode could have been called Ferals in Heat. But then I realized the whole heat thing didn't really play into the episode that much, so...
No.
So I scrapped that idea.
I actually thought there was going to be a bit of cross-dressing going on.
Well, I'm the same as you.
A little disappointed there wasn't any.
Yeah, like when I heard Rock Horror, I thought it was going to be some mishmash of Rocky Horror, picture show, and then somehow to do with rock. So I mean, got half of that right.
You guys know I'm a huge, huge fan of cross-dressing, so it was one of the most disappointing episodes. However, it was a semi-decent episode overall.
Okay. So as Winnie was saying, we found ourselves in a heat wave. Now, this really reminded me of home. So I live in Sydney now, but when I grew up in Melbourne, you'd have these periods where it's just insanely hot and the house is hot and it's horrible.
We had 3 days of 44 degree heat.
Yeah.
Which is like 100 plus.
Did you make it to the finals?
Make it to the finals.
Of what?
Don't worry.
That was a collective whoosh.
He said he had 44 heats, I'm guessing he made it to the finals.
Oh.
That's lots of chances.
I'm so tired from all the heat that went all over my head.
Heats.
But by the way, we're currently recording this in the middle of winter.
That was a really bad joke.
I'm going, kind of wish it was a little warmer, but then I keep remembering what horrible, horrible days we had with those 40 plus degrees, so...
That was such a bad joke, but I could not help myself. I'm sorry.
That was a terrible joke.
And as Winnie was saying, it's like I was the same as you, that I thought this whole episode's arc will be that, it's all about a heat wave and it's going crazy. It shows it at the start and there's like no mention of it, if I'm remembering correctly. There's no mention of it for the rest of the episode,
There's certain bits where they're sitting trying to figure out how to get cool, and there's jokes around having to go outside into the heat, and
That's true.
Like, Raddus at one stage goes, oh, I'm just going to go outside where it's... Well, I forget what he says, but... There's some references to it, but well, not... It's definitely not what the theme, which we'll get into in a sec, of the actual episode is
about. Yeah, and I guess you also have the really creepy outfits. Like, I don't know if you guys were the same, but I found Mixie's outfit where she had the bikini top.
It was so really creepy. Really creepy.
And it's just so unnecessary. I don't understand it. It's like, what I actually thought was, what does she normally wear? I thought she normally wears nothing. I'm like, am I, like, confused? I was like, oh, it was so weird and creepy, man. We'll have to put some photos in the show notes.
Yep. Yeah, it was not a very pleasant sight.
So, and then what we see is the ferals, they get a delivery. And I thought it was funny. Like, the delivery comes through the window. It's like, smashes their window and knocks out Raddus. And then he mentions, oh, I'm going to get that postie. So that's something we say in Australia, postie for postal workers. This is in the midst. Do you remember this when we were growing up? This is in the midst of the whole going postal. So we had like a decade period where postal workers were going out and killing people. Like, and it was like multiple events over a 10-year period.
That happened
in
Australia?
Including like,
was that in Australia?
Not in Australia. Not in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Not in Australia. No. It was primarily in the US. But I mean, like, I don't know, like, it's kind of insensitive and kind of crazy, you know. It'd be like having a kids show and you throw in the terrorism joke or, like, alluding to that. Like, I just think it's, like, out of place. I don't know, maybe I'm just reading into it
but
too much.
They thought it was a package, it was wrapped up, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they thought it was a bomb because Raddus had these, you know, the thought bubble above his head and he thought it was TNT, you know,
yeah,
a ticking time bomb.
That's because he heard a ticking noise.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
hey,
it just pushes
that's
the
what I would think.
Even further.
It's got nothing to do with postal workers. If I heard a ticking package, I'd be like, what the hell? Get away from me.
But I'd be like, what? What's the postie trying to send me? A bomb? And it's funny that he goes and he tries to hand it over to Modigliana, going, oh, it's actually yours.
I know. I love that. It's so evil. Actually, there was a point in this episode where I actually took a step back and I thought, like, really, if we have, you know, we've watched all these episodes, reviewed them in depth so far. I'm actually really struggling to find any positive things for kids.
None.
Like, I know I keep on harping on about this, but really, like, it's kind of shocking that at this stage, I don't think there's been any morals to these stories.
No, really. And you know who seems to be the worst of the lot?
Who?
Raddus. He's the worst.
Yeah.
He
by far the worst, yeah.
Even Modigliana's had a couple of moments where you're like, oh, she just wants to be a country singer or... Some kind of character element where she seems like she could be a good character at times. But Raddus is just... He's just an arsehole.
Yeah, but this is how the writers are. Just at the very start of the episode when the radio was playing, and look, maybe I'm reading into it like we kind of read into some of the other episodes, but...
I think that's our job at the moment, to read into it.
Seems like it.
We've been tasked.
Reading a little too much into it. The narrative, well, the guy on the radio goes, we're cool here at Triple D. Like, Triple D, is that supposed to be, you know, like a joke on the whole Double D thing? But it's like a Triple D?
Okay, I think only you could be reading into it.
Well, I'm just not aware of any, like, Triple D radio stations. They could have gone, like, Triple Z or some other random.
I think it's because of Triple J, right?
And surely, yeah, but why D? Why D? I just think there's more to it than
well.
There's more to it than that in the show.
And wasn't there Triple R at that stage, John?
Possibly. I'm not sure if it was around in the early 90s. It could have been.
Yeah. Okay, so... They don't know what this package is, and then we get this little snippet, and I want to play it in full and then ask you guys a question after we come back from this clip.
Yep.
To Raddus, enjoy. From Ratso?
Ha! Stand back!
What's up?
That's Ratso, my cousin. He runs a casino, and we had a disagreement.
What about?
About whether I should have my legs broken. I owed him some money.
Is this a kid show? Like, that
not.
Is insane. Like, I actually burst out into laughter two times in this show, like this episode. And that was one where I was like, what are they? Like, how? This is ridiculous. Like, surely, I don't know. Maybe I don't know how sophisticated kids are, but that is crazy. Am I wrong?
Something
crazy?
You'd see on The Departed or Casino or Goodfellas.
Or The Godfather or something, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised there's going to be an episode with Raddus waking up and there's, like, I don't know, the head of a... I wouldn't say a horse, but like some other thing on his bed, like in one of the episodes.
Kylie's head?
Yeah, like Kylie's head or something. Oh, God.
So then the package opens, and I'm going to ask you guys, like, what did this thing look like? Swinny, what did this thing, once it was the package was open, what did it look like to you?
I don't know if you've ever seen any nature documentaries and they show like a dung pile like from an elephant and it's gigantic.
That's what I was going to say as well. It looks like
not just shit, but kind of like shit that had hardened in certain blocks.
Now to be fair though, we are watching this on what I guess isn't the best resolution. Like if this wasn't, you know, 1080p, maybe look a little different. But in the resolution HD. That I saw, it just looked like pixels of shit. Really, that's the only
I like
way to
how
describe
we all
it.
Came to the same conclusion. This is probably the only time we've agreed on everything. Like I described it as if you hang around the rear of horses all day, the collection of items on the floor is what it looked like.
That's very descriptive. Wow.
When I saw it, I was just like, "What is this?" I wrote what the literal blank. I'm just like, what is this thing? And then they basically just leave it there. And then they switch over to, you know, the other plot line. So they go back to Robbie and Lenny and their house. And they're furiously cleaning their house because Robbie's aunt Mavis, out of nowhere, is coming over.
Mavis. Let me just stop you there. Wait, before you get into it. I'm just really happy that finally got more than one plot line again.
Yes, same. Dual plot lines.
That's
awesome.
All I wanted to say.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that will factor into the rating, as I've already written down my rating that will go at the end of the episode. But yeah, this is definitely a better episode for me. So first thing I want to say about this, heat wave, everyone's really hot, and then we're going back to Robbie and Lenny's place. I'm like, come on, this is like a perfect opportunity for like
digital
Robbie
air
kid,
cooler.
Right? And, okay, we're going from different angles here. I'm like,
that did not factor in my mind whatsoever.
Really?
So. Oh. No.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I was very disappointed.
I was waiting for Joe.
Well, you didn't get disappointed with that.
So they're both like cleaning up the place like crazy, and then Joe comes, and I think he owed Robbie some money, so he started cleaning.
You only find that out later.
I know.
Just to quickly interject.
I know.
It was so out of character. Like, why would he help her out? And secondly, this is going to be called Rocky Horror, why isn't he wearing like a maid outfit?
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean you find it out later? He says right at the start that she says him, "You owe me money."
Oh, I totally missed that part. I just thought, wow, out of character. Why is he helping her?
No, he said that before she said, "You can do the cleaning up."
He said it basically.
The money or cleaning up, right?
I must have been distracted thinking of Joe in a maid outfit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was all money or clean up. And we all know that Joe would do anything for money, so he's certainly not going to hand over money.
One question I have is, we've seen this apartment in pretty much every single episode so far.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it suddenly so incredibly messy? We've never seemed to have this issue. I mean, it doesn't look like it's the cleanest place, but suddenly it's like there's food smelling in the fridge and it's stuff everywhere.
Because it's summertime.
It just seemed a bit out of character for the apartment, if you can consider the apartment a character.
Oh, it's definitely out of character for the apartment.
And the living is easy. That's why. I was trying to illustrate my point.
Let's move on.
Yeah, so basically, I kind of agreed with Mike to some degree about the Joe, because it did still seem out of character, because I think as his character has been established, he would normally just fob it off, like, oh yeah, whatever, I'm not going to pay you, right, and just leave. But he wanted to clean up, so what I wrote was double friend zoned. I think they're both being friend zoned here.
Whoa.
How's that?
That's good.
I'll take my applause now. Yeah, so I think that's sort of being established right now.
But surely he's a promoter. He's got all the options in the world.
You think so, being a promoter?
That's the question. Is he still a promoter? Do we think that
of course
they've just given up on that?
Besides trying to promote himself, he hasn't really promoted anything, has he?
No, he promoted the first thing. Remember, he was going to promote Robbie.
Yeah, that's
Robbie
what I mean. Like,
and take care of her.
Seven episodes ago.
Yeah, but we don't
which
know.
Which in the time frame Joe's of this show is like 3 years or something.
Joe's got a complex, you know, network of business activities. He's a businessman. You know, if he was around today, he'd be into startups. He'd be the startup entrepreneur.
And you know what's number one at top of that?
What?
It's Joe's Jovial Juveniles.
I could see him being into property development, juvenile goods, and, you know, startups. I could totally imagine that.
Yeah, what was that greeny flea wash stuff?
Yeah. No, that was Kylie and Keith. That was Kylie and Keith.
He stole their idea.
He did, didn't he? Oh, I love Joe. There is a great scene later with Joe where he gets confused for not being a promoter, being confused for something else. So, like, then we get into this point where, you know, as everyone wants to do, if someone's coming over, you want to pretend like you're a better person than you actually are. Apart from in Mike's case, he doesn't care.
No. I don't care what the bitches say.
Exactly. So, they wanted to, like, you know, have some health food and all this kind of stuff. And there was one bit where I think it was, like, a real close-up on Lenny. And he had his little fan in his hat, which I thought was quite funny. And he was like, health food? Oh, that's like the worst thing in the world, right?
It is.
I'm just like, geez, reinforcing the message for kids out there.
Well, it is 20 years later and health food still isn't better.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then we flip back to the ferals. Now, this rock, man, is... I feel like I'm just going to play this clip. This clip's from a bit later, but it sort of shows what the rock sounds like and what it can do. Just to sort of set the scene. Because I want to hear what you guys thought about this rock. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to play this now. I had to put the Keith bit in the end because I thought it was funny.
Thank you.
What did you guys think about this rock?
Okay.
I'll let you go first, Mike.
Yeah, so, go Mike.
So my initial thoughts were, what the hell? But then as the episode progressed, not to jump ahead, but as the episode progressed, I started seeing some parallels to Bumblebee in Transformers. Almost like the character was inspired by Bumblebee.
Oh, man. Oh, that's a good pickup.
Because it basically doesn't actually... I don't think it sings its own stuff. I think it's almost like a radio that tunes into other things and just plays them. That's what it sounded like.
Mate, I tip my hat off to you. That's a good pickup. That's true. Let me play... Yeah, go on, Swinny. I want to hear what you say. I want to play the clip again because it
okay, does you have play, that play sound. First, play first.
All right, I'll play it because I think you're right. I think it does have a sound that sounds like Bumblebee. I just play it. Like that bit, right? That's kind of like a Bumblebee type thing.
And throughout the entire thing, it plays songs and stuff that you like and things you'd hear on the radio as opposed to a tone voice.
Yeah, like this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good pickup, man. That's a good pickup. I like that. This is the detailed analysis of why this podcast exists.
Okay, do you want to hear my detailed analysis? Detailed analysis is better than a detailed one.
Is it a triple detailed analysis?
Oh, touché.
I think we have our intro.
Take 43.
My note is: this rock is terrifying. Some Lovecraftian creature, disembodied voice.
Deep.
I'm not very smart, but I spent maybe half an hour trying to find the words to describe this rock and just giving up because I was trying to find, like, you know, what are things that are sort of inanimate that become animated, and you know how there's like some Greek sort of rooted words that you can use to describe these type of things. It is so bizarre. Like, you just have to watch the episode to see this thing. It doesn't make any sense.
Wait, and I just awesome. Had a brilliant thought.
I love
thought.
It. I love it.
My statement about this rock was only two syllables off a haiku.
Mind blown.
If you change
terrifying to terrifies, done. Anyway.
All right. Wait, no. Can you change that to terrifies? And I'll give you the clear air to read it out in full. The rock haiku.
No, I'm not going to say it again.
Come on,
do it for Dwayne Johnson.
It's awesome.
Okay. Triple count D on Dwayne count Johnson. On your, count on your fingers. Make sure I'm right on this. This rock. Right. Okay, this rock terrifies. some Lovecraftian creature disembodied voice.
Wait, this rock terrifies is four, not
terrifies.
Five.
Terrifies.
I don't
know. It's close
know
enough,
English.
Okay. You're going to be. It's close enough. We'll leave it to the. By the way, we'll leave it to the
hey,
listeners Sweeney's, to piece that together.
That's will be better
Sweeney's
than teachers
be a
we
teacher.
Had.
I love it.
Awesome. That was a pretty failed haiku. It was close.
I'll let you work on it. I will add it to the show notes. I'm sure. Terrifies. I've always been bad at syllables. I think it's because of the Australian accent. So sort of, you know, some words are, you know, they run together a bit too quickly. Anyway.
Terrified.
So, I don't know, did you guys have any other points about this rock at this point of the episode? Because there's some other stuff.
Well,
like later.
Look, something happened. Are you going to get into the part where it sings? Or can we get it out of the way now? Because I got a little tidbit of info for that.
Let's set the scene. Because, like, this is actually what happens throughout the entire episode. Like, it permeates into the apartment. You can hear the singing, and it's going crazy. So, set the scene.
So, the rock just won't shut up. Now, at one stage, it sings...
Sorry, as Dwayne Johnson, who's in the episode?
Yes.
You smell what I'm cooking?
Well, there's a bit of cooking in this episode, actually.
Go on.
So there's a part where it sings the Alouette song, and you know the one that goes, Alouette, Jope, Alouette, or whatever the hell, I don't speak French. But
officially titled the Alouette song.
That's what it's actually called. Now, apparently... It's called Alouette.
It's called Alouette.
Yeah, that's the name of the actual
song. Yeah, but
song.
That's not Alouette song.
No, anyway, it's called Alouette.
Is the Alouette song like the thong song?
Well, okay, it doesn't have a the at the front. It's not the comma Alouette. But anyway, Alouette is the name of the song. Now, it's a French-Canadian song. And apparently it's a song about plucking the feathers of a lark in retribution for being woken up by its song. Which I think is quite appropriate in this case. Because it won't shut up about... What?
You both know that. It sounded like you knew that as well, Sweeney.
Well, I did take notes on it.
He knows many things.
Oh, okay.
But it's pretty much what Mike said.
Little tidbit.
It's, I'll let you finish after this, Mike, but it's...
Well, how do you spell this? Alouette.
A-L-O-U-E-T-T-E.
Wait, well, what is it?
A-L-O-U-E-T-T-E-S-E-X.
Got it.
Cool.
All right.
See, I used to have a girlfriend who was an international student, so she didn't speak English too well at the time. She you know, subsequently
that's
learned.
Your favorite market. That's
it was fantastic, yes. Now, I forget the number of times I would use that as a joke. Well, she'll ask me how to spell something while doing the homework, and I would start saying stuff like, oh, yeah, it's R-E-T-S-E-X-R-I-B-U-T-I-O-N. And that's all we need to know about that. Moving on.
All right. Your point was that what?
Nothing. So it's quite a bit. It's a very befitting song. You both know it. I thought the song was perfectly picked.
I didn't know that this song was because the lark woke them up. I didn't really research it. I just read the lyrics and it says, "What lark, nice lark, I'll pluck your feathers," and I thought. That is a fitting song for the ferals because it's screwed up.
That's true. It fits for them as well, yeah. But no, there's a reason behind that song, yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that because I wrote... like, and I didn't even know what this Alouette song... I've heard it for a long time. I didn't know what it was about. But I wrote in my notes, demon-rock-chicken. Rock-chicken.
El Polo Rock
so
Diablo.
It's very fitting. Because there's sometimes where I'm like, Diablo. This is like a chicken. This is like a demon rock chicken. So that's, okay.
It was like a demon rock chicken.
Exactly. Like this rock is singing the whole episode. It's so bizarre and I love it. This is like the bizarre stuff that I love. Like it makes no sense. It has, like, I don't know how high they were when they were coming up with these ideas, but it's fantastic and I loved it.
Same.
So then we flip back to Robbie and her aunt Mavis finally comes.
Mavis.
Her great aunt Mavis. Now, like, this is so crazy. Like, from the start, she's just like, oh, Robbie, how are you going? And she's actually hugging and kissing Lenny. So from the start, it's like, okay, this is not her aunt, surely. Is that what you guys picked up on?
No, I didn't pick up on that. I picked up on the fact, because when I first started watching the show, I have to admit, all the Robbies I've ever met in my entire life have been dudes. I've never met a Robbie who's been a girl. So, I don't know. Was it a misunderstanding? Yeah, but then she goes, yeah, I've got so many other nephews and nieces. However, without spoiling what happens later in the episode, you're right. It may well be, well, I just spoiled it, I guess. It may well be that she's actually a con artist. And it's not actually her aunt.
Wait, are you working this out now? Or?
No. I'm not working out now. Because I've got notes on the whole con artistry thing, including some really good other tidbits and research that I've done on con.
I think he's figured it out, Monkey Boy.
I think... Ding!
No, I knew it. But right I have to admit, when I first saw it and there was the aunt... No, I hadn't figured it out at that stage. I actually thought she just screwed up because she never actually met Robbie in real life. And she thought Robbie was a dude because that's what I thought when I first
heard Robbie. Well, how about you, Swinny? When did you think that she was like not all that what she seemed?
To be honest, when she took the money. So it took me a little bit of time. But before we get into a discussion on the storyline...
Tell us about how you found out about that trip in Thailand. Because you're good at finding these things out.
That is the most random reference. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, wow.
I want to direct you guys to a link.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I like links.
These links,
to me, is the most appropriate lookalike so far. Now,
links good.
I know you guys. I know you guys aren't pro wrestling fans, but
no, far from.
We're not like any wrestling friends, whether it's pro or amateur or beginner class.
No, that's true. Oh my god, it's real wrestling though. No.
there is. For the listeners out there that may be familiar with the very famous wrestler Ric Flair, that is exactly what Mavis.
You mean that Mavis?
He is exactly what Mavis resembles. So much so that
I know nothing about wrestling, but I'll give you that. That's the same person. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so this is going to be in the show notes, so you can click on it. But like, did you mean to like put the joke in as the names were wrong? Well, is that...
Of course.
Okay. Just confirming.
I just...
Because it actually did throw me off. It threw me off. I looked at the top right-hand one. I'm like, no, that's the Ferrells.
Rick is underlined because I took the screenshot out of Word and it picked it up as a typo.
Oh.
That's awesome.
So those two images on the right, to me, just the perfect... correlation between those two.
That's
so
good. Yep. That's good.
Anyway,
she really does look like that.
Good spot.
Yeah, I actually, because this lady, she's only going to be in one episode, of course. So I did look her up a bit. I think she was in Prisoner and a few other Aussie things, but couldn't find anything funny.
I thought she was fantastic.
She was really good. Yeah, at the role, perfect.
Like, would you say that she's been the best guest star so far?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that
probably
that
a
lady,
small field at this stage.
That psychic lady on the radio. She was pretty good.
She was in there for like 10 seconds.
Whatever, man. She was really good.
What was her name?
It's quality over quantity.
It was Crystal, wasn't it?
Crystal was the name of the character.
Ah, boom.
Yes.
No, it was Crystal, wasn't it?
No, that wasn't her real name in real life. But yeah, it was Crystal in the show.
Oh, no. I'm talking about a character.
Yes. It was a stripper name? What do you mean it was a real name?
Crystal. You know, Amber is apparently the most common stripper name. They've done studies. It's weird.
Is her last name...
But it's true. Sorry if your name's Amber and you're listening. You're probably a stripper.
Is the last name Lamps?
Amber Lamps.
So yeah,
if anybody
like from
wants
the start...
No, sorry, go. I'll move on.
No, I was just saying, just getting back to the episode. So from the start, like you can see that this lady, she's a bit dodgy. Great aunt Mavis, sorry.
Mavis.
And she's like drinking Lenny's parsley soup. And I found it hilarious. She's like on the couch fighting away. And then she goes to, like, what kind of animal is this lady? She starts pouring some part of it out onto like the plan. And then she sees this elaborate experiment that Lenny is running. And she decides to just pour this soup into his experiment.
That was
weird. Like, what? And why? It's like, how is this the easy way to do it? Just put it down the sink. Like, what a nutcase.
I didn't really understand that, but yeah.
Well, I think it was character building. It's all these little things that set her up as just being this really bad, annoying person. I think that's why they did it.
Yeah.
But what I didn't understand, which was completely out of character for the story, is why the plant didn't fart. Everyone else did. Like, you think it would have let out a little...
That would have been pretty good.
So I guess we should cover off the story of the plant. It got... What was it? Like, some of the parsley soup poured into it and it died.
Without farting.
End of story.
Without farting, that's true.
That is by far the saddest subplot so far.
But why... Like, maybe I didn't watch the episode carefully enough. Why was the soup causing everyone to, like, fart and causing great flatulence and making people, like, plants die and stuff like that?
Have you ever had parsley soup?
No, never.
Neither. I don't think anyone really has. So I think it's impossible for us to comment as to why that happens.
Flawless logic.
I did, however,
once
have banana soup.
I don't think plants should die from it, surely. Well, like, instantly die.
Well, it's...
Instantly die.
Plants aren't, cannibals, I guess. Because, I mean, if you pour parsley soup on a plant, it's kind of like plant cannibalism. Maybe it would die. Hey, my mom once made banana soup, which was actually really good. Yeah.
What? She called it
banana soup?
No, it wasn't banana soup. I swear to God. Next time we come over, I'll ask her to bring some. I'll just go, hey, mom, can you make some banana soup? These guys want to try it out.
And then she's like, no, your dad's out of town. I can't get the core ingredients.
What? Anyway,
moving on. So yeah, this character, no redeeming qualities in my eyes, like all the way throughout the whole episode. I don't think there's one thing she does that's good or positive or nice.
Besides looking like Ric Flair, which is pretty cool.
That's true.
That's pretty good.
She pulled that off well.
Uncanny.
So then she makes the little comment about how they're studying and how she's like so annoyed that they're studying. And saying that it rots their brains. I'm like, gosh, no. These messages that they're sending the kids, terrible, terrible.
How mean is that?
Actually, I should have taken this clip out. Did you guys pick up on when she said that she's going balmy?
Yeah, because
she doesn't get some action.
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah. What the hell? Am I interpreting that?
It's a
kid
show,
like,
remember. It's a kid show.
Yeah, like I wrote the line out, going to go balmy. If Mavis doesn't get some action.
I wrote the same thing. That's what she said.
I half had expected her to pull out like a little canteen and like take a swig of vodka out of it or something.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
that's in the director's cut.
Like, how are you meant to interpret that? Like, I thought balmy kind of, you know, like crazy, but, you know, when you combine that with going to get some action, like...
I thought balmy was you're going to go get like blind drunk crazy. I thought it was something to do with partying. I don't know. I thought it had some connotation to crazy partying.
Isn't it just warm weather? Like a balmy, sunny summer day?
That's true. So do you think but when you describe yourself as going balmy, it means like you're going nuts.
A balmy
like
with an
crazy.
With an B-A-R-M-Y or B-A... Oh, yeah. Because see, that's interesting.
No, spell the same. Spell the same.
No, because one's B-A-L-M-Y, which is the weather one, and then B-A-R-M-Y is the one where you met a crazy.
No.
Yeah, Barmy is
I don't
B-A-R-M-Y.
Think it's with R.
Yeah, it's with an R. Look it up. Pretty sure it's with an R. Hey, wait, hang on. Let's ask the English teacher in the making.
Google doesn't help me much.
Let's go define Barmy. Hang on. Define.
No, they have both. They have both. That's the problem. They have, like, balmy and barmy.
I typed in define barmy, and it goes showing results for define bar mitzvah. Okay.
Well, it doesn't do that for me, so I don't know what you've been searching.
Hey.
Anyway.
Not all of us are Jews.
Anyway, I think we can agree that it's her, she's going to go crazy or silly, right?
Mm.
But then when she says, if I don't get some action. So, I don't know. I don't see how get some action.
It means she wants
means
to get
go
laid.
And get some drinks or something. Well, that's what I thought. And I mean,
and that's because
we know
that this is a kids show. Hence, that's why we think these things.
Yeah, yes. It's like, we know the setting.
Yeah, the context.
Because she was
there.
Even talking about Joe and Lenny, and have a look at these boys.
She's a cougar.
Ooh.
She's a cougar. Is cougar the right term? What's the one for the older one?
Yeah, cougar. Or gilf. But she's more of a cougar, I guess. What? I like Ric Flair.
Oh, no, sorry. What I was getting confused was there's puma and then there's a cougar.
Ah, there's different
so
words.
So the puma is the younger one. It's like a chick in her 20s or 30s. By the way, a chick in her 20s, like, what does that mean? Is she going up to kids or something? Like, what the hell? How can... No, but I'm being serious. Like, what? Yeah. A chick in her 20s is dating what?
Doesn't make any sense.
Like, how is that considered to be a puma? That makes no sense.
Best we move on from this line of conversation and continue with the episode.
True.
Well, let's get on to her interaction with Joe, which I think comes up next.
Well, yeah. Well, just before that, she was saying how she wanted to borrow a tenner.
Yes.
So I think that's when Sweeney, you for started now. To go, oh, no. Something's a bit
it's
off.
It's pretty obvious that something's up because they played it in a certain way where obviously the reactions from Lenny and Robbie are like, oh, okay. Well, maybe it was just Robbie. Mm. I can't remember if Lenny was there. But that tells the viewer, hey, something's not right here with this with this Mavis.
Mavis. I love Mavis. Also, what I wrote is how this shows how ridiculous the $200 bet is when people are asking for a tenner.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I mean?
You still can't be get like away nothing. From that $200 bet.
Well, 200.
Because it's insane.
It is insane.
It's insane.
It is.
It doesn't make any sense because, like, the ABC writers, like, how are they talking about $200 bet? Moving on.
Well, I guess it's kind of like by today's standards going, I bet you $1 million.
I think people would still say that, though. That sounds like a pretty crazy bet. Anyway. I guess I was wrong about the heat because, you know, the next scene shows Keith and Kylie and they were suffering in the heat. And that I love the line. I think you'd like this as well, Sweeney, with Keith saying how he's going troppo.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is, Mike?
No.
Going troppo?
No, what is it?
Yeah, I thought you didn't. So
I was too busy thinking of Otropo's burger labelings like the Oprego. Such a weird burger name, Oprego. I don't know what Prego means. What would you name a burger? Oh, Prego. Like what? I'm going to go to the store and order an Oprego burger. Give me extra bacon in that. That's it. Fill it up good.
Anyway.
Mike.
So, going troppo, what it means is, it's like, and this did say exclusively Australian, it just means going crazy. And they reckon the origin is because of the tropical heat in, like, far north Queensland or the NT. And it makes people a bit nutty. And, like, having spent some time up in Cairns, like, which is the far north of Queensland, far north of Australia, it gets really, really hot.
And humid.
Up there. Like, nothing like Melbourne. And humid. And I can totally understand how people could say this and what it would mean. So I really like that little line from Keith.
Keith is awesome.
You know what I've noticed with Keith? That he loves to ask for a plan to be explained multiple times. Have you picked up
That's
on that?
That's because he's stoned.
No.
Have you ever spoken to someone who's stoned? It's impossible to get anything through to them. You got to keep explaining it over and over again.
Maybe.
There's
maybe
no
that's
pizza left.
To.
God. Said it 10 times.
I just think he's a bit dense.
Well, no, I know. I think he's dense combined with the gum.
No, I don't think... I think it's the gum leaves. I actually think that's the whole joke. He's always high on gum leaves.
Well, I think it's a bit of a combination. I don't think they play up the high thing enough.
They
should. I mean, it's a kid show as well. So.
Well, yeah. It's subtle.
But remember in the birthday party episode when he was, like, kept on asking Kylie about, like, what they're doing, why they're doing it, and she's, like, going nuts. And then it happens in this as well when they're...
I guess so. It's a character trait of you know...
Of a koala.
Of your favorite character.
Well, it's a character trait of a koala. What's a koala going to... Have you ever met a koala? Koala's basically
yes,
like...
Yes, I've held a koala.
Hey, bro, what's up? Nom, 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 nom.
Hey, you had the opportunity right there to do the proper Keith whistle.
Oh, I can't do it properly.
You failed. No, it's failure. Then we move on to where Joe has his interaction with great Aunt Mavis. Now,
like
this is probably my favorite part of the episode. What did you guys think of this interaction?
I liked it. And I have a bit of...
I just love that response. I liked it.
I love it.
I got a bit of a racist undertone
Really?
Huh? From this.
Whoa, whoa,
but
whoa.
But he's white.
Let's take a step back here.
Now, as we know Joe, or at least the actor, but, you know, I guess by extension, Joe.
Yeah, but his name is Joe King, you know, which is as white as it gets.
No, but wait, let's hear him out.
Sorry, yep.
He's at least part Filipino. He's from the Philippines. And to me, it's that whole Rose Porteous was a cleaner kind of thing, you know. She was... to me, it just seemed a bit like she's just assumed that he was a cleaner. Other than the fact he was obviously clean, he just seemed to be a bit of a trait.
I just assumed he was a cleaner, and therefore she assumed he was a cleaner.
I just love that.
No racism.
Apart
there.
From the fact that she saw him twice cleaning, so she just assumed he was a cleaner.
Oh, shut up.
I do get what you're saying, though. I do get what you're saying now. I must admit, I didn't read that into it, and I like reading these things into it. But
I'm probably off the mark massively.
But I did find it funny. I did find it funny that he was like confused for being a cleaner, given his promoting chops.
And he's a money man.
For a cleaner was pretty funny.
Let's elaborate on what Aunt Mavis does, though.
Yeah, so basically, she got the tenor off Robbie, and then she wants to change it with Joe. And she's like, oh, here's the tenner. You give me two fives and give me $5 a change. Rah, rah, and then they change money. And in the end of the day, Joe doesn't get his $10 and just... I don't know how much he lost.
He lost five. Because what she does is she goes, here's $10. You give me two fives. And Joe gives her two fives. And then she quickly goes, oh, actually, I need change for one of the fives. And she doesn't give the 10 back, I think. And he goes and changes the five into coins. It's like one of those really tricky maths problems that he ended up getting conned out of all this money.
One of those tricky
stupid kid shows. They make me do maths.
I put it pretty simply. Joe gets swindled.
Yes, he gets conned.
Joe gets swindled. So at this stage, we well and truly know that Great Aunt Mavis is a con artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, I don't really understand the comment, but I still laughed. But when Keith and Kylie, that they were laughing at Joe getting swindled, and then they said, want to buy the Harbour Bridge?
Ah, I will explain that to you. So, once upon a time in the US, there's a guy called George Parker, who was a famous conman. Now, he was famous because he used to sell public landmarks to immigrants. So, he actually ended up selling the Brooklyn Bridge several times by convincing people that they could make a fortune by controlling access to the roadways. And people would actually try to erect toll barriers on the bridge, thinking that they now own the bridge. And that's where the expression comes from. So, yes.
Wow.
That was it.
I know, I'm blown away.
No, seriously, that's where it comes from. That's why the whole idea of, hey, you want to buy a bridge comes from.
I'm really impressed that you've got that information.
I feel like that's an underhanded comment.
Second of all...
It is. It's so racist.
Second of all...
Is it because I'm a cleaner and an immigrant?
What kind of idiot could think they could buy a public landmark? They deserve to get swindled.
Oh, yeah. And
I'm not sure if they deserve to get swindled. I don't think anyone deserves to get swindled, but I agree
they do.
Quite silly. It's quite silly.
Hey, this...
Natural selection in money form.
Yep. It is.
Survival of the fittest.
I'm with 20 in this one. But yeah, that's what
I mean. Even that's good. That's good. This is the quality that I want from this podcast. This is what we need.
This is the peak. It's all downhill from here, baby.
I have to admit that's probably the best thing you've said on the whole show's run. Yep. So.
Hey, come on, Al McPherson's hoo ha didn't count.
I thought that
was the best thing I said.
So even the greats in the show, even the great Raddus. Is tricked in this episode. So Aunt Mavis comes up.
He finally met his match.
He met his match in this woman. GAM, as I'm going to call her now.
He got Rickrolled.
GAM. So she comes up to him. And I was like, this is I reckon kids would love this joke. She's like, oh... She came up to him and he's like, oh, I bet, you know, you're not alone. And he's like, oh, what? You know, what are you talking about? And she's like, I'll bet you're not alone. And he's like, oh, no, okay, I'll take that bet. $2 or whatever on it, right? And she's like, you're not alone because I'm here. I'm like, that is such a kid's joke. I was just like, come on, man.
It got him, though. It got him. And then she, like doubled him and
yeah, she goes double or nothing
doubled it again,
double or nothing bucks. With a, with I believe it was like a $2 coin.
Yes,
right. So she flips it and then she's like, "Oh no, heads, no, you lost. Oh, I've done it again. Oh, heads, no, you lost." Right. The Australian $2 coin has heads on both sides. It's got the head of the queen and then a head of another person. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question without you guys checking.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the person on the $2 coin in Australia?
Rolf Harris.
Mike?
Dude, I have absolutely zero idea. All I know is the queen's in the $5 note.
Is it Batman?
No, but
Batman?
Well, look,
you know who, you know, I could describe the person, the way they look.
Is it an Aboriginal person from memory?
Yes.
I don't know the name though, but I know.
Oh, terrible. 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 How about you, Swinny?
I got no idea.
You know why? It's not of anyone.
What?
It's just described as Aboriginal elder man.
Trick question.
What?
He conned us.
Yeah,
he conned us.
I was like,
you swindled us.
Double or nothing. I was like, that seems a bit racist. I don't know. Does that seem a bit wrong to you guys?
Well, what's on the other coins? Like birds and stuff?
No.
They're not. They're not like
flora and fauna. What are you saying? What are you saying, Swinny?
The 20-cent piece, that isn't a specific celebrity platypus or anything. How's it?
Celebrity platypus.
Wow.
Here's George.
Holy
celebrity platypus.
Shit. So wait, are you trying to compare an Aboriginal man to just a random platypus?
No, but there's no special preference in Coinville.
That's interesting. How come there is no special
that,
preference
that's
in
the
Coinville?
World that they live in, isn't it? It's like a separate little alternate reality of creatures and people that live in coins.
I'm not sure about that. Being in the US, they try to capitalize every single coin and dollar and put someone on there.
Yeah, with like
presidents.
Illuminati symbols and shit.
I did a bit of digging about it, and it is actually based on somewhat of an image of an Aboriginal man,
right?
And he had the unfortunate, I think, nickname of £1 Jimmy.
Oh,
and what? That's I'm being serious. I'm not joking around with this. At that point, I just gave up. I'm like, I don't want to know about this dark background of the coin and why they haven't changed it or why they haven't put it off someone else. So,
and the $2 coins are the best coin because it hurts the most.
It's quite heavy. Australian currency, like having gone around the world, it's crazy. Like the 50-cent coin in Australia is one of the biggest coins in the world. I didn't even realize until you.
The 50-cent coin's gigantic as well.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
Now I'm going to link you guys to something now. By the way, speaking of,
right.
of building of Aboriginal faces.
Oh no! Is this that building?
Yes. How'd you know? Get out of my head!
Because you've shown it. You've shown it to me before.
Yeah, but I don't know if Monkey Boy's seen it.
Probably not.
All right, send it through. Send it through.
Now, without opening a political can of worms, I actually think it's a very cool, unique-looking building.
Oh, yeah. This is Melbourne, right?
Mm, yeah.
Is that a ghost?
It's not a ghost.
It's haunting the interior of the building. Get it away.
Yeah, it's a really cool...
Why is it that like some of the bits are faded?
Oh, no. Sorry, that's a bet. I'll send you a proper pic of the actual building, not some designed one.
Oh, no,
I was
going to
say, that's an artist's interpretation.
It is, sorry.
It's
yeah.
like transparent buildings in the background. They can't be real.
No, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, what?
This is going a little off topic.
Don't worry about it. What's the point of the building? What's the problem with it?
I'm not going to go in. I see no problem with it, but there were issues that people presented, including the fact that in Aboriginal culture, you're not supposed to represent dead people.
Ah, true.
Or images of dead people,
true.
And it's not like you can look away from a building. So, and others have, you know, said it's culturally insensitive. Now, from an architectural perspective, however, all cultural aside, I think it's an excellent-looking building and really unique. So, anyway,
it's not very sexy, though.
Well, I think the man was pretty good looking.
That doesn't live up to the Pamela Anderson building in Melbourne.
Yes, we have that. We got a link to that.
John Sam Newman's building, yeah.
Oh, someone could just Google it. I'm sure they'll probably get some other kind of images, but...
No, we must provide.
Okay, we should probably get back to the episode before we get too off track.
But it's Pamela Anderson.
I think so.
Okay, so, Luke. Sorry, Monkey Boy.
Yeah.
It's back.
All right, so then we get back to the rock and how the Ferals want to get rid of this rock. They hate this rock. I love the rock. I find it so surrealist and absurdist and insane. Like, there's times where the rock is getting bounced up between Mixie's fingers. Mixie loves the rock, gets along the rock. The rock is singing. I don't understand it. I don't really get, like, how this is, like, some kind of horrible thing that Raddus's cousin, Fats Radzo, which I love that name, why he sent it to them.
Because
it's
annoying.
It's annoying or something. But it's so bizarre. It's just, like, insanely bizarre. But did you guys pick up on the scene? I really liked it, where Darren, was trying to punch the rock.
Yeah.
I love that. I wanted to make a gif out of that. That was awesome. It just looks cool how he's, like, trying to punch it.
It reminded me of, like, Mike Tyson's punch out, where every time they jab, they're, like, ducking completely off screen.
That's perfect. Good. That's better than what I wrote. It reminds me of the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, with Pacquiao trying to punch Mayweather and just keeps on missing all the time.
I know.
Anyway. So they want to get rid of this rock. That whole storyline doesn't really go anywhere in particular, but I like it. And then we see Raddus, he's wanting to, you know, get out of there, and he's like, he ends up drinking the parsley soup, and he turns into a ball, and I've got a photo of it that I'll put in the show notes, but it reminds me of, do you remember the Willy Wonka movie, the very first one?
Yeah.
Where the character turns into a blueberry ball?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Is that right?
It happens in the Burton version as well.
Oh, really? I've never watched that. Yeah. I don't watch it. I'm not watching it out of principle. Can't remake that movie. What's the point? It's crazy.
It's not as good, but it's okay.
Mm.
It's not going to change your mind.
Yeah. Well, like, it's like, why remake Total Recall movies like
that? I was going to say exactly that. Mind you, they changed it a little bit. Sufficiently to still be slightly okay.
Yeah, but don't need to do it. Nope. So this ball is awesome. Did you guys like it? I reckon it was cool.
I liked when he tried to move. That was pretty funny. He's like, can you push me this way?
Well, I just found it funny because it was so, like, absurdist. He's like this huge ball. It's, like, out of proportion. And then he burps and farts to, like, decrease his size. Just like,
how do you think they did it with the puppet?
I was going to say it's really good puppeteering.
It was cool craft.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah, it was cool craft. I
would say a balloon that they inflated. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Pump some
air. Yeah, I mean, that's probably dead on. Because it had that shape. It really had a real ball shape to it. Did you guys pick up on the bit where Moddy was saying, oh, you know, something's just going to burst out of his chest?
Yes, because the alien reference.
Because
they were talking about how
aliens.
The rock is like an alien from outer space.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Alien, I checked it because I'm thinking Alien is a dark movie. Like, you know, I want to have kids one day and I'll kind of decide, hey, this is when I think my kids should watch this movie.
I watched
Alien
it when I was like, seven. Bad.
I watched it when I was like 6 years old.
Yeah,
that explains a lot of you too.
No,
right?
It does.
I think that's a pretty disturbing movie.
It is. Right? I couldn't sleep for like a whole week.
And I'm like, I checked it and it's on average about 18 plus rating around the world, right? Like, between M and 18, but certainly not PG.
We had very
irresponsible
parents.
It's only because of Sigourney Weaver's nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, I actually...
That's the whole reading.
Not because of, I don't know, an alien penis thing jumping out of someone's chest.
Well, when you say that, it's funny, though, because I looked into this a lot, like, on IMDb, into quite detail, and, like... There is a lot of variation in the rating, and also they have an edited version that's PG-13. Which I'm like, how could they make this movie PG? Like, they're probably doing some of the things that you're saying.
Does,
like,
the alien make a squeaky noise when it moves around in the PG version?
Like Benny Hill music. Chasing around.
You guys have seen the artwork by H.R. Giger, right? The guy who designed it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely.
Now that is definitely R18+.
Yeah. I wonder, now, H.R. Giger's obviously passed away now, hasn't he?
Yeah.
That's a shame, because I would love to see his rendition of the Ferals in his art.
Oh, I like, that's good. That's good. So then we're leading up to the end of the episode with, you know what? Actually, I didn't write a note on this. So what I wrote in here was like, it's the whole ending of the episode where they're leading up is the Ferrells and Keith and Kylie want to battle the Rock to get rid of it.
Yes.
So I just wrote like battle to the death. And then how that ended was, what happened in the end? That was quite predictive. Mm. We had Raddus who burped the Rock to death.
I felt
now really this Rock died, right? It disappeared. It shriveled did. Away.
I felt
and was
so
dead.
Sorry for the Rock. Like the Rock was kind of like this poor little puppy thing that just wanted to play, and they killed it.
I'm glad they killed it.
Yeah, but it's sad.
Yeah, it wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, but
it
what kind of message does it send
that's
to
what
people?
You do
hey,
with anything that won't.
Someone doesn't shut up. Hey, why not just kill them? Like, what kind?
It's perfect. It's exactly what you do with animals and children.
Oh God.
So Swinney, what did you think of the resolution of Great Aunt Mavis? The resolution of her story.
Now, if I remember correctly, she comes in. She goes, "This is too crazy. I'm leaving."
Yeah, I wasn't happy with that.
It was a bit of a letdown. It was a letdown. Considering how good of a character she was.
I was like, that is so lame. I actually, because I got to the end of my show notes and I'm thinking, hang on, I didn't even write what happened to Great Aunt Mavis.
Yeah, because it was like such like, a, what? That's it. Like, she was
such a great opportunity to have a funny
not
ending.
The Rock.
No, you're right. Like, this is the thing. If this show was made now, they would take that Seinfeld / Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm and try to tie in the storylines together, right? So you got the Rock, the craziness of that, and then you got the craziness of this con artist.
Hey, I've just realised what Raddus expanding reminded me of.
What?
The Monty Python's Meaning of Life. The guy in the restaurant.
Oh. Yeah, the fat guy who's always throwing up. You're right, actually.
So it would have been awesome if that happened to Mavis.
I think it was, actually, like, to some degree.
Because it's had a lot of little references. I reckon it had the Transformer reference, it had the Alien reference. I mean, when they dressed up to kill the Rock, it felt like they were, like in Aliens or Alien, when they were all, like, readied up with weapons and stuff and gear to take down the alien. So I reckon there were quite a few little movie references in there.
But you're saying Transformers, Bumblebee didn't do that. I know he didn't speak in the original series, but he didn't play random radio noises.
I don't know. I don't remember the original series.
Because unless they've really got a really good time machine and they reference Michael Bay's version.
Not enough.
He did have some stuff.
I've only seen one of the
Michael Bay films.
Yeah, we saw it together, Monkey Boy, and we decided never to watch it ever again.
I know. No, like, I'm quite sure that Bumblebee did have, like, radio-type sounds and noises.
I thought
like
so, too.
I think he just made noises, but I don't think he quoted, like, movie quotes and songs from the radio and stuff. I think that was a Michael Bay-style thing. I could be wrong on that. I think we need to check the animated movie that came out, the original.
I think I have that
song. You know, I actually rewatched that movie recently, and I hated it with a passion.
Why?
But like, you've really got the touch.
No, I didn't like
it. You've got the power.
I actually started watching a little bit of the cartoon as well, and I'm like, wow, this is like not very good.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think it would have.
There's a lot of things that are not that good anymore, like my mom's banana soup.
God, that means that I can't edit that joke out now because you mentioned it now.
Hey, it wasn't even a joke.
You're doing this on purpose.
It wasn't even a joke. Doing this on purpose. Hey, I literally mean it was a soup made out of bananas. An actual soup. Like a proper soup.
Was it sausage soup?
No, like proper real bananas.
It sounds so disgusting.
Yellow fruit.
This must be a Romanian delicacy or something.
Yellow fruit.
I don't know how else to explain it. An actual banana.
Okay.
Have you guys got anything else to mention about the episode? Because that was all I
just
really wanted to
say about
jokes.
Just a couple of quick jokes, but I'll let you go.
I'll let you go first.
Go, Mike. The part where Modigliana and Darren were sitting on the fence or something, and she goes, "I'm so hungry I could eat a hot dog." Get it? A hot dog? And he's like, "You're sick." That actually made me laugh. I thought that was a pretty good bit. And did you guys hear what The Rock says?
Yeah, no, I like that. That was awesome.
Okay.
And
okay.
When The Rock died, it goes, "Timber." Is that what it said? Because that's what it sounded like.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Sweeney, what did you...
I was half expecting to hear a Wilhelm scream from The Rock. I'm really disappointed I didn't hear one.
That would be awesome. I love
now,
that scream.
I don't have anything to say about the episode, except for the fact that the credits cut off in the version I watched. I was so shattered.
No, I couldn't find
old
a version that had credits.
Neither. Old versions were like that. Because I was trying to find out who the Remedios was.
It doesn't mean I haven't got something to say.
Okay.
But...
Oh, the credit man's delivering.
But it means I don't have anything to say.
No, this isn't about the credits. So, Mike, if you want to talk about Mavis, go ahead.
No. I was just saying I was disappointed that I couldn't figure out who Mavis was. Because there were no credits. Well, besides, obviously, Rick. But I was actually...
It was Ric Flair all along. Woo!
Woo!
Okay. No, I've actually got some material left over from my Tumblr escapades from last week.
Oh, yeah, because you are a Tumblr user, aren't you?
Not really. I just know it's a dark... It's a pretty twisted part of the internet,
Part two of Swinney's Tumblr installation.
This is going to be good.
Installation?
I know, I said the wrong word. Where we slag off our few potential listeners.
No, this is a bit different. I'm not ratting on anybody this time.
Go on.
This is actually a song about the ferals that I found on Tumblr.
Oh, what?
Now, this is actually typed up in a post. I'm not going to link it because I'm actually going to sing it to you guys.
Oh, God.
Awesome.
I
like the different responses that we had there. Go on.
Now, I don't know if this is potentially actually taken from maybe the Fantastic Fun book. If it is, then we'll find out, but otherwise, I don't want to miss this opportunity.
Yeah.
So, this is actually a parody of a very famous song in Australia. I'll let you guys try to pick up on what it is, okay?
Yep.
Okay. All ferals, come let us rejoice, for we are young and furry. Eroded soil that we helped spoil, red centre to the sea. Ah, no, we are not nature's gift, endangered are or in peril. We do our best to be a pest, advance Australia feral. We're loathed to be all, we scratch and maul, advance Australia feral.
Is that the Ugandan?
I would love to say.
That was fantastic. Was that the Ugandan national anthem?
The Austrian national anthem.
Yes. Of course.
That is obviously a parody of the Australian national anthem.
You just said it's the Australian
I wish I could say that I wrote that piece of trash, but unfortunately I did not. That was courtesy of SpiderMonkey111 on Tumblr.
I actually like the line about, what was it, from the red center to the sea, or is that more eloquent than that?
I actually think it's not too bad. But yeah, it says, eroded soil that we helped spoil, red center to the
sea.
That's
pretty cool. That's a really cool line.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
It's quite artistic. Yeah, I know. It's quite
I just wanted to say it was crap for the sake of it. It wasn't too bad, actually.
Well, to be honest...
I think that...
Yeah.
Go on.
No, I was just going to say, to be honest, the first lady girl you linked us to was pretty hot last week.
Okay.
Now,
I'm putting it up there.
No, that was good. I like that. But that does sound a bit Ferrell's Fantastic... Ferrell's Fantastic Fun Book.
It wouldn't surprise me
if it's
taken
fan
from
book.
It.
Anyway.
Fantastic Fan Book. Now,
I reckon it sounds better, the Fantastic Fan Book.
It does, anyway. Actually.
Now, the second thing I found is an interview with Modigliana. Ooh. Now...
I think I heard this. But go on.
It's in text form. Oh. So I'm actually going to see if you guys can guess some of the answers. Now, it's actually based on the fact that Modigliana, I think we may have mentioned this and we may not have, went on to actually be like a bit part character in something called Creature Features on the ABC. I can't remember if it's on ABC 2, which is obviously the second channel of the ABC, but it's actually on the page for that show.
Hmm.
So, my first question is, do you guys know Medigliana's full name?
Ooh. No, I must admit, I don't. I just thought it was Medigliana. What is it?
Like
is it?
Medigliana von Pusus? The third?
That's pretty good.
Medigliana's full name is Medigliana Esmeralda Olga Widebottom.
Wow, I didn't know.
Esmeralda.
Or Meow for short.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, there we go.
You guys harmonized that. That was impressive.
that was really cool.
Okay.
So we've got Professor Radis P. Radis. Now we've got Medigliana Esmeralda. What's the O?
Olga Widebottom.
Olga Widebottom.
Widebottom or okay.
Is it Widebottom or White's Bottom?
Widebottom.
Yeah, Widebottom. That's what I thought. Harsh, yeah.
But true.
Okay.
Bubble butt.
Now, I hate that song so much.
I know, that's why I sing it.
Okay. Now, famous for. What do you think she answered for famous for?
International singing cross actress. Singer cross actress.
Mark?
Shooting ping pong balls. At the longest distance?
Out of her mouth.
Out of her mouth.
Yes. Go on.
Being herself.
Oh,
what?
Jeez. I was going to drop an F-bomb there. What?
Okay, okay.
That's lame as hell.
Birthday.
What, birthday? What do you mean? When is her birthday? Or?
Yeah, like her answer to birthday. Now, I say questions. It's pretty much like a topic.
Oh, so, okay.
Birthday.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe
today?
The 5th of Pervember.
That's good.
How dare you ask that? Ladies do not tell their age.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's in character.
Okay.
That's something she would say, yeah.
A couple more. Star that's sign. Fair.
Yep.
Star sign.
Superstar.
Yes. Is it?
Yes.
Whoa, that's really
Is that right?
No. Is that your answer? Yes.
Ah, you got me excited.
I thought that. Yeah, I was excited too. That is guess. No,
I think
really
he's.
Good.
I think Mike's just tacking on the superstar bandwagon.
No, it's Leo.
Really good guess, Monkey Boy.
It's what?
It's Leo.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough.
Well,
I think Monkey
like
Boy.
Leo
I am
the lion
a
cat. Or whatever.
Fair enough. Leo the lion. Yeah.
Okay. Couple. Right. Couple more.
Yeah.
Color of eyes.
Green.
Ooh.
The green, right? Like,
blue is
yay!
The
green.
Oh, okay.
Woo.
I feel like I'm trying to go for clever answers here. These are just starting to get very direct.
Color of hair.
White?
White.
Yeah!
These are lame.
Okay. I think let's pick one last one from the whole lot. Okay.
No, do all of them. They're good.
No. The last one. Last one.
Okay, last one. Okay. Do you have any siblings?
I'll have no for 500, Eddie.
I'd say, a couple of brothers and sisters.
At last count, it was around 30.
Whoa. My cats don't have that many. Well, I suppose...
No, I know, which is...
Not in a single litter, but... Yeah, it's possible.
And I'll just say the last one, she admires Garfield.
Ah, everyone does.
Mondays.
I mean, that's Tuesday. What?
It sounds.
I was
going to
say. So it's not a it wasn't totally over the top, but I thought it was actually
pretty good. Yeah.
So was that like an interview with Moddy, not so much an interview with the puppeteer?
No, it's with Medigliana.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's funny.
And it's actually they interview her and her co-host, like some dude.
I'll put that in the show notes, but if you could send me a link or put it in the chat.
I'll have to remember where it was.
Okay, just send it to me and I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. All right, so let's get to the ratings. I'll go first this week and then we'll go to Mike. I gave it 7 rocks out of 10. How about you, Mike?
I give it 6.05 out of 10.
This is the integers. 6 or 7?
6.
Okay. How about you, Swinny?
I give it a 7.
Ah, see, this is... So we don't collude on this before the episode.
Nope.
And so far, myself and Swinney, we haven't deviated by more than 1 point.
Wow.
Up to this point.
Well, people did used to get us confused.
I know, it's true. With Mike,
maybe
it's
maybe
gone
they're
from,
onto something.
From Mike, it's gone 7 in the first episode, and then every episode since, it's been 6.
Yeah, I screwed up the first one.
So, I don't really know what you're trying to achieve. You're trying to achieve nothing now, because you're not even consistent. I feel like you're consistently inconsistent now. All right, well, I think that wraps it up for this week.
Did you say that wraps it up next for this week?
Yeah, wraps it up.
I think that rocks us up for this week. Join us next week for episode 9, Medigliana. All right, bye.
Bye. I love you.
Ciao.
Long time.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.